Thanks for listening to iTruths, the teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church of Texarkana, Texas. I'm Richard Hornock, the senior pastor of Fellowship Bible Church, and the following is a message that I delivered during one of our Sunday morning worship services. I trust that it will be beneficial to your walk with Jesus Christ. Thanks again. I'd like you to take your Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, verse 19. This is the passage we looked at last week. And I just want to kind of refresh your memory about it. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth. This is Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves can break in and steal. But instead, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust can't destroy, where thieves can't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What Jesus was saying is invest in heaven. Seek the kingdom of heaven. Put your resources into heaven. Put your time and your talents into heaven's agenda. Now I got a question for you. Have you ever been afraid to do what you thought God wanted you to do? Have you ever been nervous about that thing that you just are pretty certain God wants you to do? Let me tell you, I have numerous times. I'll just tell you one story. I remember it was about 6.5 years ago. Our daughter Caroline was a senior in high school and getting ready to go off to college, and she won the presidential scholarship at John Brown University. All expense, all tuition paid. And you know, after having put two kids through college, or was in the process of putting two kids through college, that presidential scholarship looked very, very, very good. And, you know, but just knowing Caroline, we'd gone to John Brown, and John Brown was a great place for Jonathan and for Emily. It's a great place for Julia and Eleanor. I just want you to remember that. I really like that place. I love it. I love it. But when I went there with Caroline, I thought, this isn't where she should be. And we went at Thanksgiving time of her senior year, we went to Chicago, where my brother lives, and we went over and visited Wheaton, a school that I was real familiar with back from my days. And, I mean, it was just perfect. And I just sat and I thought, this is really where she belongs. And, you know, but it's so perfect and they're so proud of it. The cost of it is like this, okay? And, you know, then John Brown did me this favor in January and awarded her the presidential scholarship, and all of a sudden God's will had been revealed. And so Vicki and I, you know, I mean, we're just like, Caroline, this is God's blessing. And you know, she is like, yeah, I just am so excited about it, you know? And honestly, she went back and forth, and I thought, you know, and deep down in my heart, I was like, that isn't where she needs to be. I don't think it. I don't feel it. I mean, we'd met with the math teacher the math professor at John Brown, and you know, I was, you know, great guy, okay? But it just didn't click. And I'm like, okay, because she was going to be a math major. We met with the math the head of the math department at Wheaton, and I was like, man, I'd love to major in math at Wheaton. I mean, it was just everything about the place said this is where God wants her. Except that crazy presidential scholarship that John Brown gave her. And the money said, Siloam Springs. But I'll be real honest. The kingdom was saying, Wheaton. My pocketbook was saying, Siloam Springs. But when I sat and I analyzed what God wanted, I said, Wheaton. It didn't make sense. And so Vicki and I, you know, being such spiritually godly people that we are, from January on, we kept saying, no, you're going to John Brown. And it was John Brown. And I mean, I had even become acquainted with the president up there, and I called him and I said, look, you know, you're a great guy, and you know my two kids that have already gone to John Brown. You guys gave my daughter this presidential scholarship. Would you just call her and tell her how good you guys are? And honestly, Chip Pollard, the president of the place, a guy that's got his PhD from Oxford, actually called our house one Thursday night and told Caroline about John Brown. And after she hung up on the phone, she says, like, why'd you do that? And I'm like, 'cause there's money on the line. And you know, the deadline was May 1st. And May 1st, she had to accept that presidential scholarship or reject it. And she also had to put some kind of a deposit down on Wheaton. And I remember, just to complicate things, Emily brought some guy home with her from John Brown that weekend and then ended up breaking up with him. But that was kind of a fun weekend, you know, all these emotions going on. So after we got Emily taken care of, you know, this all happens on Saturday nights, which are great nights for preachers. About 11:30, Caroline comes into our room. 11:30 at night, Saturday night, I'm preaching in the morning. You know, we just got rid of Emily and her boyfriend. And, we got Emily ready to get rid of her boyfriend, or this guy that used to be her boyfriend. And Caroline said, Monday's May 1st. I really do not want to go to John Brown. I just do not believe that is where God wants me. I mean, I know the money is there. It makes total sense. And you guys have been saying it makes a lot of sense. And I know it'll help you. And you got about 1 million kids that you got to help through college. So it'd be nice to have one of us go for cheap. And the more she talked, the more I was honest with my heart. And I remember when she left our room about 12:30 that night. Again, it's Saturday night. Now it's Sunday morning, preaching in the morning. And I looked at Vicki and I said, we got to send her to Wheaton. She's like, how in the world are you going to work that out? And I'm like, I have no idea. I have no idea. It does not make sense to walk away from an $80,000 scholarship. And it didn't make sense. And even sometimes I wonder now, does it make sense? But you know what? God provided. It's like that's what God wanted. And you know, I was nervous. And so we did. We sent her. And she graduated from there 2.5 years ago. And you know, we stretched ourselves, and she stretched herself, and she borrowed money, and all that good stuff. And I remember being there in orientation and hearing them talk about their mission. And again, please, I love John Brown. I love John Brown. I'm just using it as an illustration, okay? I would have loved for George to go there. I'd love for these two to go there. So nothing against John Brown. It was just, I knew where the kingdom was for her. And I remember sitting in that orientation and listening to the president talk about Wheaton and their 150-year history with their motto, for Christ and His kingdom. And I thought, I don't have a clue as to how we're going to get through the next 3.5 years. I mean, I don't know how in the world she's going to pay for these debts that we're going to accrue because I'm paying all I can. She's paying all she can. And there was still more left over. But I knew one thing's for certain. That's where God wanted her. And you know what? It worked. And at the end of it, you know, it doesn't always work this way. She got such an incredible job. She was debt-free within 1 year. But it was one of those times, and I'll tell you what, I lost a lot of sleep between April 28th and about August 15th when I kept worrying and crunching those numbers and they weren't adding up. But it's like God was saying, this is the way you go, even though everything common sense was saying this. And I'll tell you, that's one. And I could, like I said, I could tell you a couple dozen more stories. That is one time when I really think that it was like God was saying, here's what I want you to do. And all of common sense was saying, do something different. And we went for it. And it turned out to be the right decision. It really did. That's why this passage, I wanted to tell you that story today, because I think that that's why this passage we're about to look at is so, so practical. Look at chapter 6, verse 25. Okay, because in that paragraph that we looked at last week, 19 down to 24, Matthew 6, 19 to 24, that paragraph we looked at last week, basically, Jesus was saying, invest in the kingdom. And then right on the heels of it, look what he says, verse 25. For this reason, I say to you, don't worry. Don't worry. Do not be anxious for your life as to what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor for your body, as to what you'll put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? So here's the command, and the command is basically this. Don't worry. Don't worry. Okay, and so like a good sermon, that's the sermon for today. We're going to have a closing song, okay? Here we go. Okay, y'all got that? Okay, because you guys gave a good offering, I'll give you a little bit more of the sermon here, okay? Here we go. Here's the reason you don't worry. Jesus said, it is because God provides. It is because God provides. You have a God that says, I don't want you to be anxious about this stuff. I want you to invest in heaven. I want you to follow my lead when it comes to the wise use of your resources, your time, your money, your emotions, your energy. I want you to invest it in heaven. I want you to invest it for the kingdom. Sometimes it's going to make perfect sense. And everyone around is going to say, man, that's exactly what you should do. And other times it is going to be nuts. Because you are walking away from what the world would say is the done deal. The smart thing to do. But you, because of just where God has you at that moment, and it's not just, you know, a shot in the dark. Please don't misunderstand me. But it's like God has made it very clear. Here's the path I want you to walk. And God is saying, okay, here's what I want you to do. And common sense says, that's nuts. That's dumb. That's foolish. God says, invest in heaven with your time, your talents, your money, all that good stuff, and don't worry. Because I provide. Because I provide. Look, he throws in two illustrations here, okay? Two examples. The first one is the birds and food. Okay, look at it. Look at the birds. This is verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, neither do they reap, neither do they gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Now, aren't you worth more than they are? Now, understand what Jesus is saying here. I mean, he's not preaching what Billy Bass preached. You know, don't worry, be happy, stick your head in the sand. No, you know, what he's saying here is this. He's saying, you need to work. Just don't worry. See, what is his point there when he talks about the birds of the air? They don't reap, or they don't sow, they don't reap, neither do they gather in barns. Why don't they do that? Because they don't know how to do it. Their heads are only this big. What kind of a brain do you think is inside of there? They don't have the intellectual capacity to know how to prepare, to store, to save, all that good stuff. Jesus isn't saying, hey, forget the book of Proverbs and forget all the other financial wisdom that the Scripture says. I mean, Scripture is filled with all kinds of admonitions about how we are to be wise and good stewards of all the stuff we have. We are supposed to sow. We are supposed to reap. We are supposed to save. I mean, if you sit and think, you know, hey, just don't worry, be happy, go fishing, spend everything, and at the end of the day, you know, you'll always have plenty of stuff. That's the promise God's making. No, that isn't the promise God's making at all. And that's not what Jesus is illustrating. Birds work their tail off, okay? They honestly do. Birds work very, very hard, and they don't even have the resources that you have. They don't know how to sow. They don't know how to reap. They don't know how to save. They don't have that ability. And yet they do not go without. Why? Because God provides. You who can sow, who can reap, who can save, who can take all that world, that wisdom that Scripture is filled with, I mean, if God's going to provide for them, just think how much more He is going to provide for you. You are so much more important than the birds. Look at verse 27. Which of you, by being anxious or worrying about all this stuff, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? Remember what a cubit is? A cubit was basically a measurement, like a foot or a yard. It was measured from a person's elbow up to the tip of their fingers, roughly 18 inches. And what Jesus is saying is, you can worry, 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 but you're not going to extend your life at all. You don't add to your life by it. Worrying is just a waste. If you doubt that, look at the birds. Look at the birds. They can't do hardly any of the stuff you do. And yet you, if you will do like the birds, plus do all the things you can do, the sowing, the reaping, the saving, God's going to take care of it. You invest in His kingdom, and you don't need to worry. Work. Work hard. But you don't need to worry about it. Okay? Why? Because God provides. Look at the next illustration here. Next illustration is about the flowers and the clothes. Okay, this is in verse 28 and 29 and 30. Why are you anxious about your clothing? By the way, you know, we sit and we think about Jesus' day. Okay, 2,000 years ago, He's sitting there preaching to these people, and there's probably hundreds, maybe even a few thousand people there listening to Him. And we're thinking, you know, those people do not have the tough life that we do. I mean, we all have these smartphones and that we get our emails on and our texts on and all this good stuff. And I mean, life is stressful. I mean, we pack as much into every bit of it. And we think, yeah, sure, Jesus could say this to those people and it would go over great with them. Not so. I mean, think about the economy that Jesus was speaking to. It was an economy that for the vast, vast majority of people, 90% or more, they got paid at the end of the day, if they got paid. And usually what they got paid, they had to use to take care of that day's expenses. I mean, very, very few people were able to save. Remember the passage we looked at a couple weeks ago? I mean, a coat, a good coat, was a great investment. It retained value. And rich people had a coat. Very few people had a coat. Just the rich people had coats. These people that Jesus is talking to, I mean, the conscientious ones, they did worry. Because if they showed up and there was no work for them, there was no pay for them. They might have worked all day, but at the end of the day, the boss man said, "I don't have it. Nobody bought what we harvested today. I'll owe it to you, but I can't pay you." I mean, these people literally were much more hand-to-mouth than any of us are. And so for Jesus to flippantly throw it out there and say, "Oh, by the way, invest in heaven, but don't worry about it." I mean, I am sure there was a ton of people that said, "Yeah, right." I mean, they had kids. They had spouses. They had needs. And they didn't have, you know, 401ks. They didn't have Social Security. They didn't have insurance companies. They didn't have Obamacare. You know, I mean, they just, you know, it was tough. Okay? And so it went over with them, you know, about as well as it really goes over with our society. Don't worry. Don't sweat it. You got to be nuts. So what does Jesus say? Look at verse 28. He says, "Why are you anxious about your clothes? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, did not clothe himself like one of these." Now, if God so arrays the grass, which is alive today and tomorrow it's thrown into the fire, will He not much more do so for you? Oh, men of little faith. See, what He's not saying here, don't work. No, I think you could even find in here, He's saying, man, sweat those details. Give attention. Work hard. Just don't worry about it. See, because worrying is ungodly. I mean, when I'm anxious, when you're anxious, when we start worrying and just going over it and mulling it over and mulling it over and mulling it over, I mean, basically that is just a lack of faith on our part. God said, if I called you to go take that mountain, go take it. Don't sweat don't worry about it. Just go do it. Work hard. Sweat the details, yeah. But go do it. He said, seek the kingdom. Invest in heaven. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. One of the most unbecoming things that we as believers can do is sit and worry about doing the will of God. And I think sometimes because we do have this tendency to worry about doing the will of God, so many times basically we back off from the will of God and in a way we kind of put up this huge callus around us, and in reality we're just kind of gliding through life doing the American dream. We're just doing life the way, you know, everyone else does it. And we don't really have this interactive relationship with Jesus. We don't really have this interactive relationship with God where God is saying, you know what, here's what I want you to do. Because we're not even thinking on that level. We're just, you know, okay, you know, it's time to go. And we're going to do it. That's what every other engineer does when he's 55. So that's what I'm going to do when I'm 55. That's what every other attorney does when he's 55. That's what I'm going to do when I'm 55. Here's how life works. You know, we just chart it out and we just get on the path and go. And we hope that, you know, when we're 65 or 68 or 70 or something, there's going to be a little chunk of change piled up and we can, you know, cut back on the work and glide into to home. I mean, I'll just tell you what, that is not the boring life that God has for you. As a kingdom citizen, God says, I want you to follow me. Now maybe for the vast majority of people, that will be exactly what He wants you to do. But what if when you get to be 45 or 50 or 55, God says, take a right turn? And all your colleagues are saying, that is nuts. Or what if God says, when you're 30, God says, you know what? I know you got a college degree and I know you could stay here in the States and make $130,000 a year. But you know what? I would love for you to go to Indonesia and be a missionary. Or be someone that's involved in this. Or be someone that's involved in that. And your parents are like, what? We paid all that money to send you to college. And you're like, ugh. But if God is telling you to do that, if God's putting it on your heart to go do it, it's like what Jim Elliot said. He is no fool that gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. But I think so many times we North American Christians, we've just insulated ourselves around and we're just gliding our way to Reunion Plaza. You know, the nursing home right over here. And yeah, we're hoping there'll be, you know, a few $100,000 that'll be piled up there so that we can live for 15 years and at the end of it, it'll all be gone. Because, you know, it all got paid to keep us over there. That is not the life I want. I don't think it's the life you want. And I don't think it's the life that God wants for you. God says, I want you to walk with me. I want you to invest in my kingdom. I want you to lay up treasures for me in heaven. Because that's where it's going to last. Now, don't worry about it. Look at the flowers. I provide for them. Look at the birds. I provide for them. It is useless to worry about these things. It's ungodly to worry about these things. It's a waste of time to worry about these things. Follow me. Let me ask you, I don't know what you're going to do tomorrow. Most of us are going to go to a job tomorrow. Are you absolutely certain that's the job God wants you to go to? Honestly. I mean, are you building the kingdom at that job? Whether you're an engineer, a school teacher, a stay-at-home mom, whatever. If you can't sit and say without a doubt, yeah, I'm going there because that's where God has placed this kingdom citizen. Let me just tell you, you need to stop and spend this afternoon. Good thing the Cowboys, I don't even know when they play. I know they're in England, but good thing they're not playing. You don't need to watch them. You need to spend some time thinking, am I doing what God wants me to do? I mean, last week we saw, and it is so clear, Jesus said, invest in heaven. Use your time, your talent, your treasures, and invest in heaven. Am I doing that with my time? Or am I just going to a job? If you're just going to a job, man, you need to find the 3 or 4 hours or the 5 or 6 days to sit and do some thinking because, boy, that life gets boring and sick. And toxic. I think Jesus is inviting us to be kingdom citizens who build His kingdom. And He's saying, don't worry about it. Trust me on this thing. So He reissues the command there in verse 31. See verse 31? He said, don't be anxious then. Saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? I mean, that's what the Gentiles, the unbelievers, they seek all those things. Don't you know that your Heavenly Father knows you need them? God knows you need that. I mean, one of the things I'm going to do in the next couple days is I'm going to pay my bills. You know, my SWEPCO bill, my CenterPoint gas bill, my house bill, my, you know, all the good stuff. God knows I need money in that region's account to pay all that stuff. He knows that. I mean, last week when George came home, George needed shoes. I'm like, what do you need shoes for? You got plenty of shoes. He said, yeah, you bought them for me when I was a sophomore in high school. I'm like, well, that's good enough for me, you know? I mean, God knows he needed shoes. His mother bought him a suit, too, while he was here. I don't know whether God told him that, too. But, you know, I mean, God knows you need that stuff. God knows you need a little entertainment in your life. God knows you need some things to relax. God knows you need a vacation now and then. God knows you need all that stuff. Seek His kingdom. Don't worry. He knows you have needs, and He will take care of those needs. See verse 33? But instead of, you know, being bent out of shape about these needs, seek first His kingdom. You know what it says in the Greek? Seek first His kingdom. I mean, nothing's lost here. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these other things are going to be taken care of. Therefore, don't be anxious for tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, don't worry. Don't worry. God will provide. Now, again, please, don't misunderstand me. The birds work like crazy. For a flower to be produced takes all kinds of ins and outs and all the details that go into it. I mean, work very hard. I mean, there's you know, 1,000 other pages of Scripture that talk about the necessity to work and be a good steward and diligent and save and sow and reap and harvest and all that good stuff. But Jesus says, go after My kingdom, invest in My kingdom, put your time, your talent, your treasures in My kingdom, do life My way for My kingdom, and don't worry about it. I mean, there will be times, and if you haven't had them, I honestly believe that if you will work to get that callus off of you, there will be times God is going to ask you to do something that's just irrational. And I'm not into, you know, please, you know, this is not prosperity theology, okay? I mean, there's nothing more deplorable to me or from the pit of hell, to be honest, than prosperity theology. I mean, that is just terrible. If anything, those prosperity theology preachers have kind of hijacked an incredible truth that God has promised us and just polluted it totally. This isn't prosperity theology I'm preaching here. There is a divine deal where God says, seek Me, invest in Me, and I'm going to take care of it. Okay? You're going to be okay. You will be okay. So seek My kingdom. Seek My kingdom. There is going to be a time, if you will live that way, there's going to be a time when it's like, it'll be like that Wheat and John Brown situation for us and Caroline. It's like common sense says this, and you are certain God says that. And you need to go for that. It might be a job. It might be turning down a job promotion. It might be accepting a job transfer, declining a job transfer. It could be walking away from an opportunity that just is, the world would say, man, that's your ticket to the top. I mean, it could be that, you know, maybe it purely is in the area of money. And it's like God has laid it on your heart to give this amount, this percentage. And there's times when you look at it and say, if I give that amount, it ain't going to add up. And you need to go for it. And you need to watch how God provides. I mean, don't shortchange yourself on this thing. God is inviting you to come into a dimension that the world doesn't understand. The world can't reduce it down to a formula. I mean, God is saying, look at the birds. I take care of them. Look at the flowers. I clothe them. I provide. Seek My kingdom. Don't worry. You don't need to worry. Just seek the kingdom. do life seeking His kingdom. So what do you do with this? Look in the bulletin. I put the outline there. I don't know whether you pulled that out to help you follow along or not. But look at the back of the bulletin. Each week I've been putting something there for you to do. I got two things for you to do this week. And I forget which order, so I'll just give them to you as I remember them. Here's the first one you need to do. And if you haven't done it, you really need to do it. You need to memorize Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Particularly if worry and security issues, anxiety issues, if they are something that plagues you, you need to memorize that scripture verse. One of the things that is just tragic about modern Christianity is we have lost sight of the value of memorizing scripture. What does Paul say there? I should remember this. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. I memorized it in King James. Sorry, it's probably different in the thing. I mean, that is what you need to remember. I mean, it is a command against worrying. Be anxious for nothing, but instead pray. But instead, everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. And this leads into that second thing that I'm asking you to do. And I know many of you already do this. And that's great. But maybe some of you don't. You need to get a piece of paper, and probably this piece of paper that you're looking at right there would be as good a piece of paper as anything. You need to write down four or five things that you have a tendency to worry about. And you need to commit yourself to pray for them, pray about them every day this week. I mean, maybe money is really a huge issue. You know, we're just hand to mouth, hand to mouth, hand to mouth. And I'm just so sick of always worrying about, you know, some catastrophe happening. The refrigerator goes out, the freezer goes out, the engine goes out, and we are going to be bankrupt. I mean, and it hadn't happened. But you just know it potentially could happen, and you worry about it. You think about it. You know, my husband's led us into this. My wife's led us into this. And put that down and pray about it every day. I mean, some of you are saying, man, I raised my kids the way I really thought I should raise them. And right now they're shaking their fist back in my face. You need to put that down and pray about it every day. I keep trying to use my time God's way, and it just seems like it's a waste. I don't see any results. Nobody's lives seem to be changing. You need to put that down, four or five things, and pray about them every day. Why? Because Jesus says, don't worry. Seek my kingdom. Don't worry, because I'm going to take care of it. You seek my kingdom, you use your time, your talent, your treasures to seek my kingdom. Don't worry about it. Pray about it. Because God's going to take care of it. You know, I wanted to put a verse up here on the board. I put it in the insert there for you too. I love this verse out of Psalm 37. I have been young and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. He is ever lending generously and his children have become a blessing. I think the guy that wrote that, the psalmist that wrote that, he's saying, you know what, folks? Here's my experience. And if he was going to put it in our language, he would say, everyone that I've seen seeking the kingdom, God took care of them. I've been young, now I'm old. I've got a lot of history. I can never remember the righteous forsaken. I can never remember someone who really sought the kingdom having children that just, you know, were barefoot and malnourished. you know, couldn't accomplish what God wanted him to accomplish because the money just wasn't there. I've never seen that, the psalmist says. In fact, what I've seen is people that seek the kingdom, they are in a position to bless other people. In fact, their children have become a blessing to people. Why? I think it's because of the truth that Jesus is saying there. You seek my kingdom, everything else is going to be taken care of. That's my experience. I can fully agree with him. You know, I sit and I think about, you know, my own parents. Okay, my parents were missionaries. My parents were missionaries. They did not make much money at all through the years, honestly. And yet, you know what? There's six kids. Two of us have our doctorate. One of us, you know, is ABD, you know, everything but dissertation. He didn't get his doctorate, but he did everything to get it. And then the other three slackers have master's degrees. I mean, you know, you look at it, and it's like, those people should not have had kids that went to college. Now, my parents weren't able to help us with college at all. At all. I actually, when I was 17, I had to buy my own plane ticket to go to college. Why? Because my folks just didn't have it. But did my folks' children suffer because they sought the kingdom? No. I mean, I think of Elisa Tuttleby's parents. I mean, they spent 40 years in Mexico as missionaries. And God has blessed them. Now, my orientation is ministry people. Okay? So all my illustrations are ministry. Don't get me wrong. I don't think that's the only way to invest in the kingdom. If you are in business and pursuing business God's way, seeking to build the kingdom God's way, this is can be true of you. You maybe will get to several points in your life and people will say, that is just nuts. That is terrible business stuff. That is a dumb move. He has given way too much away. They're not using their time wisely. But what does God say? Seek first my kingdom. Everything else is going to take care of it. It's not an excuse to sit back, you know, go fishing and sing Billy Bass's song. No, he's saying work. Sweat the details. Just don't worry about it. Be a good steward. But seek the kingdom. I've been young and now I'm old. Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. He's ever lending generously. And his children become a blessing. That's what God is offering to you. And he's offering it to me. Seek the kingdom. Don't worry about it. God will take care of it. Seek the kingdom. Let's pray, okay? Lord, I pray right now that I pray you just really let this promise sink into us. Because, Lord, most of the stuff we've seen, this is beyond it even. Lord, this is where the world really says we're wacko. I pray, Father, that today you would help every one of us to recognize that in faith, we can follow you. Help us to seek your kingdom. Help us to invest in heaven. Father, we have that tendency to doubt. We have that tendency to worry, to be anxious. I pray, Father, that you would help us to channel all of that into faith. And Father, when you do provide, I pray you'd give us the wisdom to be able to say thank you, to give you the credit. Lord, I don't think there's a person in this room that wants that boring American dream life.
Father, we want to walk with you. And our life might look like that American dream. If that's what you want for us, we want it. But Lord, at those points when you maybe tell us to take a turn, to do something just a little bit unconventional, Father, I pray we'd have the guts, the faith guts, to go hard after you and to seek your kingdom. Because we know you'll provide. You'll provide according to your riches. Father, I thank you for the time that we've had today to gather together, to sing, to celebrate, to fellowship with one another. Father, I thank you that we enjoy one another's fellowship. Father, we pray that as we are dismissed and as you scatter us out around this city throughout this week, Father, I pray we would truly be kingdom builders. I pray, Father, that we would be people who are just totally sold out for Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray today. Amen. Thanks.